The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Time of year, the panto season is upon us. The iconic Gaiety Panto opens tonight, kicking off a glittery, chaotic wave of festive fun right across the country. So this week on Inside Hollywood, we're unpacking panto's over-the-top flair in film and tracing the fabulous legacy of camp and drag in cinema. And joining me now with all the sparkle is Lisa Cannon, podcaster and cultural commentator. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. I'm missing my sparkle, but I'll be at the Gaiety Panto later on, so I'll be in full force.
Talk to me about the origins of pantomime, first of all, before we see it in the movies.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, pantomime, actually, the roots are in Commedia dell'arte. It started in the 16th century. So it really had, you know, elements of mime, you know, the spectacle, the dance, the acrobats, the flair, as you mentioned earlier. And they always had a cast of mischievous stock characters. So therefore, as we'd mentioned before we came on air, you know, the women were played by the men were played by the women. And, you know, the Christmas panto, which we all know and love, and they've opened all their doors pretty much this week, started in the 18th century. And around in the Globe yeah. Theatre.
Now, for people who don't know the kind of tradition of panto, there was always the dame, who was a very large and vulgar woman played by a man.
Yes.
And the principal boy, who was always played by a pretty woman.
That's true. But always a villain. The dame usually is the villain, but has a heart of gold underneath it all. And I suppose when we look at film, people think to themselves, I'm sure they can think off the top of their heads of a few, you know, yes, there's the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Even The Wizard of Oz is very pantomimic. You know, when you look at the characters, the bright costumes, fantasy, the musical numbers and family-friendly package that it is. I thought maybe we'd just kind of go a little bit deeper because it's, although panto is primarily a live action experience, there are several films that draw on that. To me, Rocky Horror Picture Show is one of the big ones. We have a clip of that, of course. But the one that many people don't recognise is Some Like It Hot with Marilyn Monroe. We have Mr. Curtis there, yeah, Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, because of course they dress
to escape the mob. They disguise themselves as female musicians and join a female band.
Absolutely. And there's timeless appeal to Some Like It Hot, of course.
It's
1959.
So funny.
It's so funny. If you haven't seen it, it's on every Christmas. And yes, they are in drag. And the comedic device is, of course, that one of them wants to win over the heart of Marilyn Monroe. He falls madly in love. And we've got a few clips for you today of some of the movies. And we have this one where I think, you know, you'll see the sparkle come through the film.
How do they walk in these things, huh? How do they keep their balance?
It must be the way the weight is distributed. Now, come on.
You're so drafty. They must be catching cold all the time, huh?
Will you quit stalling? We're gonna miss the train.
I feel naked. I feel like everybody's staring at me.
With those legs, are you crazy? Now, come on.
It's no use. We're not gonna get away with it, Joe.
My name is Josephine, and this was your idea in the first place.
There are two things that I will not put up with during working hours. One is liquor and the other one is men.
Men? Oh, you don't have to worry about that.
We wouldn't be caught dead with men. Rough, hairy beasts with eight hands. And they all just want one thing from a girl.
I beg your pardon.
It's classic.
It's terrific. Classic, yeah. I mean, there is no way that we're expected to believe they are women at all. It's over the top camp.
It's over the top camp, exactly. You hit the nail on the head there. And I think, you know, it kind of highlights as well the cultural significance of drag queens. I mean, we talk about, you know, providing insights, themes of gender, identity, self-expression. But I think, you know, anyone that's interested in the drag culture and the impact, of course, it has on film, there's so many examples. But to my mind, even the Monty Python are very, I think, key when it comes to pantomime in general. You've your John Cleese, Eric Idle, but it's not only the exaggerated characters. I think it's the slapstick that's there. And, you know, many people asked me, even when I was coming on to do the slot today, where did it originate? Do you see it in film? And you've got to look at Charlie Chaplin. He is the linchpin.
Who came from the musical, of course.
Of course. And of course, in silent film, silent pantomime, you've City Lights, 1931, Modern Times, 1936, and even the beautiful film, The Red Shoes, the ballet film. There's lots of pantomime there as well. So we see it everywhere. Even the artist, the one that won all the awards, the Oscars in 2011.
Now, you'll find it in children's film, The Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid. Melissa McCarthy, of course, she's absolutely radiant as Ursula, who's the villain with all her tentacles. And Melissa McCarthy actually actually started out, nobody knows this, in drag. One of her favourite drag artists was Divine, and The Little Mermaid is actually, well, I suppose, based on that. Here she is in a junket with a reporter talking about that influence. Have a listen.
I always knew when I watched the original one, like, I didn't have any facts to back it up, but I was like, I am convinced that's based on Divine. I said, she looks like Divine, the bodiness is there. And when I finally did realize it or have a fact check on it, I was like, I knew it. Mm-hmm. And I think I totally brought that in. I mean, I think that, like, that humor, that self-deprecation, the homage to what you love and also poking fun at what it is that is what makes drag so entertaining and fantastic. It's like, that certainly played a big part in this for me. I'm a huge fan of drag, so.
So that's Melissa McCarthy fessing up as to the influence on that character. You wanted to hear The Birdcage as well. Now, I've seen both versions, the English language version, and I've seen La Cage aux Folles. The one most people might know is Robin Williams and Nathan Lane.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's pretty standard. You know, I think if anyone knows La Cage aux Folies, it's back in the 1950s. This is a modern version. It's the comedy rooted in drag and camp, and it addresses kind of social norms with charm, because even though it was based, on the 1978 film, I think it kind of, there's elements in there that really, I think, are telling of how men and men come together in order to create these characters, the pantomimic characters. So here we have a clip of Robin Williams showing Nathan Lane how to become a man. It's very funny.
You're a great performer. I'm a great director. Together we can do almost anything.
Oh, a man, really?
Absolutely.
Oh.
We've got 5 hours. All right, first, get your pinky down. It's up again. All right, and your posture.
Oh, oh my God, are you crazy? What are you doing?
Stop screaming. I'm teaching you to act like a man. All right. All right. Now, this is a dinner party. Let's work with food. All right. Spread some mustard on the toast. Don't use the spoon, and don't dribble little dots of mustard.
No?
No. You take your knife, and you smear. Men smear.
Smear, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Get the goddamn pinky down. All right, make your fingers like iron, all right? Yeah, and stop trembling. Hold the knife boldly and straight.
I'm gonna, like, pierce the toast.
So what?
The important thing to remember is not to go to pieces when that happens.
You have to react like a man. Calmly. You have to say to yourself, Albert, you pierced the toast. So what? It's not the end of your life. Try another one.
Albert, you pierced the toast. So what?
You're right. There's no need to get hysterical. All I have to remember is I can always get more toast.
That's the spirit.
Yes.
All right, let's try walking.
That's really terrific. So funny.
It is, yeah. It standout, isn't it, that performance?
It is. It's being stereotypical as well about the kind of mincing character that Nathan is and that he isn't.
Is it? Absolutely, absolutely. It's kind of the juxtaposition between the male character and, of course,
a real man lathers his mustard.
His mustard. And, of course, they start the walk. I mean, you know, people will probably be thinking to themselves, Tootsie. And, of course, yes, with Dustin Hoffman, an iconic performance. He won Best Actor there, of course, as well.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire, yes. Robin Williams, he's absolutely tremendous, of course.
Now, there's an earlier one, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah, I mean, that really would be up there with kind of the ones that the stellar performances of those in drag. This is a very hard film to watch if people haven't watched it or seen it. It's wonderfully created, an Australian movie. And I think ultimately, you know, it's a kind of a road trip with dazzling costumes, but the camp energy is high. I mean, it's flamboyant to beyond over the top. 1994 film, all Australian cast. It's difficult, as I said, to watch because obviously there's the elements of miscommunication, misogyny. There's many other elements to it. It's pivotal, but it's also incredibly harrowing. Here's a little clip. Have a listen.
Well, ever since I was a lad, I've had this dream. A dream that I now, finally, have a chance to fulfill.
And that is?
To travel to the centre of Australia, climb King's Canyon as a queen, in a full-length Gautier sequin, heels and a tiara.
Great. That's just what this country needs. A in a frock on a rock.
Oh, get back in your kennels, both of you.
Well, we had to bleep that out. Sorry about
that. Bleep that little bit out. Finally, you mentioned earlier the Rocky Horror Show, and you have a clip.
Yes, I do. I love the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Who doesn't? But obviously, when you have Tim Curry in the role, everything just explodes in all the right ways. So let's have a listen, because this obviously is him about to talk about transsexual Transylvania.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Dr. Fulton.
We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat world. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
Transsexual Transylvania. I suppose there's one we should give a nod to in passing, Cabaret.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful movie. Anyway, Lisa, when people go to their panto, wherever they may go, they'll now view it in a rather different light.
They will. I hope they enjoy the immersive experience. It is a little bit over the top, but it's wonderful.
Lisa Cannon, podcaster, cultural commentator, thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.